Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. I ask that you give us ears to hear what you're saying and a mind and a desire to apply this word that we hear tonight, Lord God. We ask that you would just stir us all up, give us just a desire just to serve you more, Lord God. We ask that you move in this time. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So tonight, what we're talking about, Ignite. And Marquise was on this Ignite tour. And Ignite meaning to start a fire, to cause to burn. And with us being Christians and being saved, sometimes when we get saved, we'll first be on fire with God. And sometimes we allow that fire to go out. And God wants us to ignite that fire, to keep it going and stay on fire for Him. I know when I first got saved and I was really living for the Lord, when I first got saved when I was 16 and I decided that, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I began to pray and read my Bible, and I couldn't help but tell people about the goodness of God. And that's what we need. Get excited about worshiping God. Get excited about going to church. A lot of times we allow ourselves to be insecure and we forget about the God we serve. We forget about what He's brought us through. We forget about how good He is. So we don't get excited about telling people, oh, come to church today. We're going to have church. We should get excited about going into the house of the Lord. A lot of times we're like, oh, I got to go to church. And it's like, we say it like it's a burden, but it's a privilege and an honor to come into the house with brothers and sisters and serve the God we serve. Amen? Amen. So the first scripture we're going to go to is Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Meaning keep that zeal that you had, that passion that you once had. When we get something new, we're excited. We can't wait to wear those new pair of shoes. We can't wait to drive that new car. We can't wait to get all moved into the house. We get excited about whatever it is that we get when it's new. But we have to keep that passion with God new. On a daily basis, be excited about coming in the house of the Lord. Be excited about what He delivered you from. Not saying, oh, I was so bad and I was this and that when I was out in the world. No, God saved me. I was messed up and He delivered me. That's the excited part we need to have. We have to keep that zeal, that hunger for Him, that passion for Him. As we go to Revelations chapter 3. I'm reminded of the movie that just came out, it came out a while ago, War Room. And there's a part in there where the lady asked her, how would she take her coffee? She said, hot or cold? Or do you want a room temperature? And the lady said, well, you know, she said, well, she asked her, you know, how's your prayer life? And she said, well, it's kind of so-so, meaning it's kind of lukewarm. And she said, you know, I like my coffee hot. Most time when people drink coffee, they like it hot or they like it ice cold. No one really likes it room temperature. And that's us with God. God doesn't want us to be kind in the church and kind of not. He wants us to be on fire for Him and be excited about telling people about His goodness. Be excited about telling people about what He's done in our life and what He's getting ready to do. Not be, oh, it's kind of okay. Because that's not going to win someone to Christ. They're not going to be like, oh, this God you serve is kind of okay. No, my God is awesome. He's good. He's faithful. He's brought me through a lot. Even if He doesn't do anything else, I'm still thankful for what He's done this far. That's the attitude we need to have. So going into Revelations chapter 3, starting at verse 15. It says, I know your deeds that you are neither cold or hot. I wish that they were either one or the other. Verse 16, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's what we do when we drink something warm and we're not in the mood for it, or we're thinking it's going to be hot or it's going to be cold. We spit it out because it's not what we wanted. That's what God feels about us, because we're not on fire for him and living for him. He doesn't want us to halfway do it. I say a lot of times when I pray that God sent his son to go all the way to the cross. He didn't go halfway and say, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to do this. But he went all the way and paid the price for us. So how much more should we go all the way out and give our best to him? We have to give our very best, not halfway do it, but give our best. And my other favorite movie right now is Facing the Giants. I can watch that movie over and over. Why? Because it shows what it takes. He had to fight to pray, fight to get back where he wanted to with God. And it shows in one scene that there is a football player, and he's doing the death crawl. And that means you crawl on your hands and knees, and you have someone, or on your feet and your hands, and you have someone on your back. So he had to carry someone on his back. And he's thinking, okay, I'm just going to the 50-yard line. And the guy blindfolded him so he couldn't see how far he was going, because he wanted him to give his best. And with God, he wants us to give him our best. And sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. So it's kind of like we're blindfolded. We're trusting God. And as we trust God to give us that energy, as we trust God to give us that strength, we can go to the finish line. We can go past what we think we can do. When we hunger and we thirst for God, when we're sold out for God and we have that zeal, we can go past what our human nature may think. But as we push forward, we can reach that goal and then some. We need to be hungry and thirsty for God. We have to be on fire for him. Not hot or cold, but on fire for him. Amen. We're going to go to Hebrews. Chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and reverence and in awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Because God is awesome and he's on fire and he is just a great big God that can do the imaginable, it's far beyond whatever we can think or imagine. He's just so awesome and so big. How much more should we be in awe of him and thanks to him for what he's done and for what he's getting ready to do? We have to continue to remember how big our God is and how faithful he is and how wonderful he is. I remember when I got on fire for God and I began to read my Bible. I began to ask, what is the next service? Because I was hungry and I was thirsty for God and I wanted more of him. And because I was hungry and I was thirsty, I began to just continue to witness to people I came in contact at work, at school, at church, wherever I was. And it was like God did a shift. There was something that was different in me. I couldn't help but tell him about his goodness. And because I was praying and I was fasting and I was sold out for God and I was focused on God, things began to happen around me. My mom said, okay, I need to pray a little bit more. My sister began to, okay, let me go to that church and see what that's all about. Because I had started going to this church because I was helping out with the youth. And I start going and my sister said, let me go with you. And so she started coming. Then another sister, let me go and see what that's about. Why? Because I was excited about God. I was hungry about God. I wasn't settling and saying, okay, I'm just going to go one time and come home and live a different way. No, they saw the change in me. And because I was on fire, that began to start a fire. With starting a fire, a lot of times if you take a match and you light one twig and there's twigs around it, it's going to cause a fire. And with us, if one of us is on fire for God, it's going to start a fire with those around us. So they sing an old song, "I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire." And I never understood it until God reminded me, I want someone to start on fire. Why? Because when one person is on fire, the people around her can't just stay the same, but they have to begin to get excited. When we come into the house of God, we are uniting. We are stirring up some people around us. Because maybe someone came and they had a rough week, but they said, okay, let me go into the house of the Lord. And as they come in here and I'm on fire, I'm giving my testimony, even though I say, oh, it's just kind of so-so, I'm going to give my testimony anyway because I'm excited about what God has done. As I give my testimony, that starts someone else to say, okay, I could do this. Okay, I'm going to press a little bit harder. Okay, I'm going to continue just to trust God. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to trust God. And as we come together, that begins to unite someone else's fire. That gives them that little push, that little, to see someone else zealous for God. Okay, let me try this. Let me continue to tie a rope, tie a knot in my rope, and continue to hang on a little bit harder. Let me trust God a little bit more in this situation because he did it for her, so I know he could do something for me. A lot of times it reminds us of how God has brought us through. This week while I was praying and I was, you know, just thinking about how good God is. He reminded me of when I first got saved. He reminded me of how I felt before I fully gave everything to him. I felt lost, confused, all alone. And on the outside, I was smiling. But I needed God to save me. I needed God to hear my cry. So when I began to open my mouth and I began to worship him and I began to cry out to God, there came that boldness that I never had. There came that peace of mind that I never had. There came that little bit of hope that I needed. And I ran with that little bit of hope. I said, okay, God, if you can move in this room while I'm praying and I can feel your presence now, I know you'll continue to allow me to feel your presence. I know you'll continue to speak to me. So I just begin to remember how good God was and how awesome he is. A lot of times we forget what he brought us through. We forget how he delivered us. A lot of times we feel like we get to a point where we feel like, it's okay, I'm doing good, but you could be doing better. In your walk with Christ, you could be doing so much better. Why? Because we want to not stay in the same state we're in. As we sing, I want to go to another level. I want to be closer to God. It's basically what that song's saying. I want to be a little bit closer to God. And then we sing, Lord, make me a house of prayer. Why? Because when you pray, you're talking to God. That's communication with God. We need to be communicating with God. Even if a lot of times we get caught up saying, I don't know how to pray. I talk to God just like I'm talking to God. I'm going through this right now, and I need you to move. It's been a tough week. One kid after another was getting sick. Then Marquise got sick, and he's still kind of out of it today. And then I started feeling sick. I said, no, we can't have this. So as I rested a little bit, I said, okay, God, I'm going to go and I'm going to speak your word. Why? Because I know how good he is. And I know that as me coming up here, I needed this. If no one else needed to be on fire for God, I needed to hear that I need to push a little bit harder. I need to know that I need to continue to fight the fight of faith. I needed to know that as I speak, I'm speaking to myself. And a lot of times when we begin to read the word, as we read it out loud, it begins to hit us a different way. A lot of times we try and read with our mouth closed, and when I begin to open my mouth and read it and hear the words, I hear something different. And now I begin to just play the Bible, because a lot of us have Bibles on our phone, and you have that option to let it read to you. And so like Marquise said, sometimes just letting it read to us, you hear something different. It gives you a different visual when you're listening to it. So we have to continue to be zealous for God. Continue to be hungry for God. You know, when we were growing up, we used to sing a song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." And, you know, a lot of times, we don't realize what that is that we're singing. this little light of mine, the light God has put inside me, I'm going to let it shine so everyone can know. I'm going to tell about his goodness. I'm going to share it with everyone I come in contact. I'm going to smile. Even just smiling shares his love, shares how good God is. Because like I said before, at 5 a.m, God told me just to smile and show, just smile everyone that I came in contact with. At 5 a.m, people are like, I'm trying to get to work. I'm not even all the way awake yet. I only have one cup of coffee. That's what they're thinking. But God said, continue to smile at everyone you come in contact with. And as I begin to do that, I saw one lady, she smiled back and was like, wait a minute, it's 5 a.m. People are actually, you know, it's contagious. When you smile at someone, people can't help but to smile. And just like sometimes when people laugh, you're trying not to laugh, but if people keep laughing, I have to tell you about this because God reminded me of this, and this is hilarious. I was in the car with Marquise coming from a concert, and we were still dating. It's Marquise, Marcel, his friend Ben, and I think that was it. And so we were talking about something, and they start laughing. And I'm like, okay. And I'm sitting there, and as they kept laughing, we were laughing for a while. Didn't know what we were laughing about after a while because we were like, man, we was just laughing. And it was hilarious because when we first met this guy at the concert, he came up, and he's talking to Marquise, and he's excited. And so he's laughing while he's talking to them. And so later on, them thinking about it, they start laughing, thinking about the guy laughing while he's talking to them. And so as they're laughing, it gets contagious. And I start laughing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what are we laughing about? But hearing them laugh just began to just, it kept it going. Because I got in and we're just laughing. And a lot of times it's funny, I hear Aniston and Harold play and they'll start laughing. And it's just hilarious. Because some of the things they be laughing about is just so funny. And just to hear the laughter, it sparks something different. It changes the atmosphere around you. Laughter is so contagious. And even a smile, like I said, is so contagious. We have to continue to show the love of Christ with everyone we come in contact with. We're going to go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And verse 5. It says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Just like I said before, if you set a twig on fire, it's going to light the things around it. Unless you have water around there or something, then it won't keep going, but it'll continue to go. And like our tongue, it's a small instrument of the body, but it can do dangerous things. The words we speak can either build someone up or tear them down. It can either, if we're speaking to our spouse, and a lot of times we get irritated with our spouse, our friend, different people we come in contact with, but we have to choose our words wisely because it can either build them up or tear them down. We have to remember that it could take one word of encouragement to help someone to keep going. One little act of kindness to help someone to say, okay, let me keep going. I heard a story before about a young kid. He was being bullied at school, and one guy stopped to help him, and he began to walk home with him that day so the bullies wouldn't keep messing with him. And years passed, and he came back to that friend and said, you know what? Because you stopped and you helped me that day, I no longer want to go home and kill myself. But that's what he had plotted to do. And because that one friend stopped, that one guy in the way stopped to help him, that one act of kindness stopped to help him, it helped him to keep living life. By you showing the love of Christ, wherever you go, in the grocery store, just being respectful, you never know. That's what it may take to help someone to keep going. And us sharing the love of Christ just letting them know God is good. I was talking to the cashier yesterday as I was getting stuff, and he was like, man, I just started. I was like, you know, make it a good day. He's like, yeah, that's right. I got to change my mindset so that I can continue to have a good shift. I just started, so I can't go the rest of these hours thinking, oh, man, I got a long night ahead of me. No, it's going to be a good time because you have a job. You're alive and well. So we have to make it a good day. We take a lot for granted. And we have to realize, I have my fingers, my toes, I have clothes on right now. I'm not hunched over because I haven't eaten in days. But we are blessed. We have to realize we're blessed. And we have to continue to encourage people along the way. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to go Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident in this, being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it until the completion, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We have to be confident and know that if God started something in you, he's going to see it come to pass. As long as you are not trying to hinder or trying to detour and do things your own way. But when we allow what God has for us, when we allow him to continue just to direct us and lead us, we will continue to see all that he has spoken over us to come to completion. We have to allow it to come to completion. Another verse I want to read. Well, we read it before, but this is the quote that I found with it, with James 3 and 5. It says, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. We forget that. It only takes one spark. I remember when Michael had went away, I think on a retreat or something with college, and he came back and he was on fire for God, and I could see the change in his demeanor, and I could see when he came to church and he began to worship in a whole different way. He didn't care who was around, he didn't care what was going on, but he began to just worship God in a whole new way. And let me just say, that stirred something in me to say, okay, God is doing something new here. You never know who's watching. But you have to remember to live for God wholeheartedly. Continue to be on fire for God. Continue to allow him to stir you up. I even pray that in the morning, God, stir me up. God, continue to help me to have that zeal, that hunger, that passion for you. Continue to help me to be a light to everyone I come in contact with. And God, help me to be a light to myself. Because sometimes you can be showing someone the love of Christ, but you're so hard on yourself that you don't even see the goodness that God has already done in you and that God wants to do through you. We have to continue to allow God to be a light in us. The next quote I want to read, it said, the fire of God is ready to come on those who hunger and thirst for him. Are you hungry and thirsty for God so that his fire can fill you, so that you can continue to be unmovable, so that you can continue to show people the love of Christ? When we're on fire for God and we're sold out for God and we're hungry and we have that zeal, it doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready just to worship, just to let God have his way. When you get in a spot where you're hungry and you're thirsty, you want to eat whatever is in front of you. You don't care if it's just a piece of bread. You're saying, oh, man, I'm so hungry. And you eat it right away. And let me tell you, that tastes like some steak, some turkey, some ribs. You're just so excited that you have that piece of bread. We need to be hungry and thirsty for God. And when you're hungry and thirsty for God, you're saying, okay, God, I need to open this word. And as you begin to read it, It's so good. You're like, okay, I need to read a little bit more. And as you read it, oh God, I need to read a little bit more. And you begin to read a little bit more. Why? Because you're hungry for more of him. You're thirsty for more of him. So you begin to spend some more time with him. Once we get past the fact that we're not just, okay, I need to do this because I said I was going to set aside a little bit of time, so let me just hurry up and read real quick, or let me just hurry up and pray real quick. No, but when you're ready just to bask in his presence, and you begin to ask God, God, I need your understanding. I've been reading for so long, and God, I don't understand what I just read. I need you to open my ears, God. Break it down to a level where I understand it. When you get excited and you begin to say, okay, I see it in this translation, and the King James, I don't understand all those words. Hold on, let me go to NIV. And you begin to read it there, and you say, hold on, let me go to the Amplified real quick. And when God puts things in perspective for you, like, okay, I understand this now. Okay, God, how do you want me to apply this in my life? And you get excited about it, and then you say, okay, who can I call? Who can I tell about this? Why? Because you're on fire for God. And you're ready just to share his word with everyone else. I say it all the time. We get excited about sports. We get excited about different things. When are you going to get excited about God? I got to a point where I said, you know what? I don't care if people look at me different, but I know whose I am. And because I know whose I am, I know who I am. It took a long time for me to realize who I was. Why? Because I didn't know whose I was. I didn't know how much God loved me. But as I took time to realize that God loves me just the way I am, and as I give myself to God and say, God, I'm not perfect. I'm striving to be perfected on a daily basis, but I need your help. I need your guidance. Now I don't care who's watching, but I'm going to tell them about the love of Jesus. And it's something we have to daily do, is ask God for that boldness. Sometimes we're a little scared, and I don't know if I can. Marquise, you say, oh, babe, go invite those people. And I'm like, don't we got to leave, babe? I'm thinking of every excuse. But why should I think of that when I can? You never know what's going to happen. Like that young man, it only took someone being friendly to him to help him out of his situation. You can invite them, and you did your part by inviting them to come. Now, if they don't come, that's on them, but you invited them. A lot of times people are looking for that invitation because some of them are just stuck in the dark. And because no one has invited them, then they're not going to have that way out. God will get the job done. He'll help bring them out of the darkness if they want to. But if you're not being that person that says, okay, God, send me and I'll go, and I'll share the light with them, then God's going to get it done through someone else. But we have to be open and be willing to allow him to work in and through us. Amen? We have to be hungry for God, zealous for God. We have to continue to let him use us. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 24. And this is talking about some of the difficulties that Paul had faced. Starting at verse 24, it says, Five times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was pleaded with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea, and I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers and dangers of the dangers of bandits and the dangers of my fellow Jews and the dangers of Gentiles and the dangers of the city, in the dangers of the country, and the dangers of the sea, and the dangers from all the false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. These are some of the things that he went through. But he still loved God. He still had a hunger and a thirst for God. He still wanted him. Even though we go through different things in our lives and we get tired, we say, God is too hard. God, I'm all by myself. We have to continue to fight the fight of faith. Continue to keep that enthusiasm for God. Continue to know that God, if God is with me, I can do the impossible. If God is with me, he gives me that strength, that help. We have to allow him to help us today. Allow him to give us that inspiration. Allow him to continue to spark that match in us so that we will stay on fire for him. Let God ignite something in you tonight. Continue to allow him to be that source that you plug into. You know, just like starting a car, it takes that battery with power to make it go. And a lot of times we feel empty. We need God to fill us up. We need to allow God to fill us up so that we have that power to continue to keep going. We have to allow him to continue to spark that match in us so we can continue to keep fighting for him, to continue to be a light to everyone we come in contact with. So remember, ignite means to set on fire, to cause to burn. We have to be united, ignited in him, and allow him to burn in us that hunger, that zeal, that passion. Let nothing stop you. No matter where you are, continue to stay faithful to him. Continue to read and pray. And even though you say, well, I'm not where I should be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. You're not in the state you used to be in. But God loves you and he hasn't forgotten about you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. We ask that you'll be with us. Continue to stir us up. Continue to help us to be on fire for you. Continue to help us to focus on you and allow you just to be the lead, to be that light within us, Lord God. God, that we'll be lights to everyone we come in contact with, Lord God. God, that you continue just to move in a mighty way, oh God. God, that we continue to pray that we wish someone's soul would catch on fire, Lord God, meaning they would get on fire for you, Lord God, that they have to tell about your goodness. They have to share the love of Christ. They have to be zealous for you, oh God. God, that you're moving everyone in here under the sound of my voice, me included, Lord God, that you're moving a mighty way, Lord God. God, that will continue just to want to look to you for our help, to want to trust you, to want to be sold out for you, Lord God. We ask that you move in this time, Lord God. You move in our hearts tonight, Lord God. God, that we would just take that first step to say, God, I want more of you. God, and that we would ask for your understanding and your guidance, Lord God, that you would just be with us. Continue to show us your way. Continue just to help us to stay on fire for you, Lord God. And that we would not let that light go out, Lord God. We ask that you be with us tonight. Take us home safely, Lord God, and bring us back again. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So tomorrow we have House of Oaks coming to join us for praise and worship and service tomorrow. Pastor Whitley, I believe, is preaching. And also next Sunday, don't forget, after service, we're going to have the barbecue for the community. And so don't forget to invite people. We will have the flyers hopefully tomorrow for church service. We have snacks in the back, I believe. So greet someone, and let's have a blessed week. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow, actually. So, amen.
We appreciate you listening to today's message. If you would like to hear this message and others in its entirety, visit our website, newcreationwa.org. We have services on Saturday nights, and we would love for you to come out and join us at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Building located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South, Seattle, Washington, 98118. For questions or comments, call us at 425-686-8197. You can be made new in Christ. God bless.